The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen on this gorgeous day. It's December 13th, midweek edition on the show. I was thinking as I was driving in, admiring our cottonwood trees, which are turning a brilliant golden color along the Rito. I was thinking, you know, autumn comes here last on the calendar year to Southern Arizona, but then we'll get spring probably in February. So we're like the first in North America to get spring, so kind of weird. Anyway, happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends, and today is also, I believe, St. Nicholas Day, which is celebrated in some European countries. Today we resume our interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators who call Pima's six community campuses home. Today we're going to welcome Edgar Soto. Edgar is the Dean of Athletics, Fitness, and Wellness. He is also the Acting Dean of Arts and Humanities at Pima Community College. He was the head baseball coach at Pima for 14 years. He also coached USA Baseball for a while. He's been the athletic director for the Aztec program for the past 9 years. Edgar, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Bill.
Tell me about the footprint of Aztec Athletics. How many programs do you compete in? How many student athletes are we talking about?
So with Pima Community College Athletics, we have 16 programs, 8 men's sports, 8 women's sports, and between 350, 400 student athletes in the fall. That number goes down between 300 and 350 in the spring, with a lot of our football players going on to 4-year schools that semester. But our programs have been around for about, almost 40 years now. So we've got a pretty rich tradition.
And what are the, you've got basketball, you got football,
men and women's basketball, men and women's track, men and women's cross country, men and women's tennis, men and women's soccer, softball, baseball. Let me see, what am I missing here? Football, volleyball.
So it's very well-rounded, full program. But it's not just competitive athletics on an intercollegiate kind of scale. You've got also wellness in your portfolio. You're dean of wellness and fitness, so that category fits into really all students at Pima.
Exactly. I mean, I'm in a position that I'm serving not just our student athletes, but other students that are interested in the fitness and wellness end of things, and even in our arts and humanities. I'm overlooking those areas as well.
Are there areas for the students to really, if they want to get involved with fitness and wellness, that they can pursue that and not necessarily on a real competitive basis like a student athlete?
Yeah, you know, first of all of our programs are open for anybody to try out and participate. Of course, we only can keep a certain a number, but everyone gets an opportunity. As far as the fitness and wellness end, if somebody's interested in getting a personal training certificate, we actually have a degree now in fitness and wellness, and they can pursue professions in that area. But the more I'm around it and the more I'm involved, I'm seeing the fitness and wellness end is a pretty exciting area that people are really getting involved in, and we're excited to, you know, help educate and help create a workforce that can fill those positions.
You were a successful baseball coach at Pima, and then you did some coaching with USA Baseball. Mm-hmm. How is it different? Do you like the management side, or I'm sure it's very different than kind of being on the sidelines at the game itself? Well, you're still on the sidelines, but not as a coach.
You know, I always get the question, do you miss coaching?
Right.
I mean,
that's
I love coaching, and it was a huge part of my life. I mean, it's something I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life just because I enjoy the teaching aspect of it. But honestly, I do not miss it at all. It's a tough profession. I mean, you're out there recruiting, you're on the field all day long, and I enjoy what I'm doing now. I think as an administrator, you're available to do a lot of other things. And, you know, some of these dreams and ideas you might have as a coach, that might not come to fruition, as an administrator, you have a possibility of putting some of these ideas into play and seeing if they work, if they're successful.
You were involved at a recent conference, I believe, in New Orleans. Was it the Guided Pathway program you were talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. It was sponsored by Complete College America, and it's an organization that was put together in 2009 with the task of helping students graduate, finish degree certificates. You know, if you look at numbers, and we're graduating about 5% with a community college or associate degrees in 2 years. And as far as bachelor's degree, about 19% we're getting four-year degrees in the 4 years. So, you know, one of the tasks for Guided Pathways and Complete College America is to put together a process and a program that helps students get their associate's degree in 2 years and get their bachelor's degree in 4 years. And there's a lot of data, there's a lot of information to support it, and it's been very successful in a lot of other states. So we've implemented that at Pima. We're really putting it in play, and I think it's going to be a real positive for our students, because two things it's going to do. It's going to help them get through the process sooner, as well as help them save a lot of money.
Into the workforce sooner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get them in the workforce sooner, help them get their career started and not have huge student loans or student debt, that kind of thing. We get them through the process and get them a quality degree that's going to work for them.
What happened with that whole thing of, I know I did my college in 4 years back mm-hmm. in the day, mm-hmm. Back in the dark ages, Edgar. But anyway, it was very traditional that you went to school. If you're going to do the four-year thing, you did it in four. Mm-hmm. But now it's really changed, hasn't it?
Well, sometimes too many options is worse than no options. And what we're learning is that when you give students too many options, too many choices, it kind of extends things and it takes them longer to get through that process. So with all the information and data and studies that we know, we've set up a program or a system with the default Guided Pathways, which gives students about three choices in every subject area. And it's going to take them about 60 to 64 credits to graduate. But without all the choices, but giving them the core of classes that they need to be successful and get a well-rounded education.
I know you do stress academics. You've had some academic All-Americans. One of the, I believe, the number of academic All-Americans is at a record level at Pima.
Well, we had 30 academic All-Americans, which is unheard of. You know, the one thing I stress with our students, with our coaches, is I say, okay, the lure to get them there might be the sport, but our true goal is to get them hooked on higher education. And a lot of times students come in with the idea that they're going to play professional or they're going to do some things in the athletics world as far as NFL, Major League Baseball. But the reality is very few get that opportunity. So if we put them on a path for success and we can get them their degree, so after they're done at Pima for a year, 2 years, whatever it might be, they're going to be on a path to get their bachelor's degree, and they can see, okay, this higher education, this degree is going to open a lot of doors for me and help me be successful. So yes, athletics is important. We want to win our games, we want to win national championships, but even more so the academic is on the front end. You know,
were you always interested in athletics, Edgar? You grew up here in Tucson.
I always played athletics.
I mean, you went on to play at the University of New Mexico as a baseball player, mm-hmm. and you played in high school here?
I played in high school. Yeah, I played at Tucson High School.
Okay.
Yeah, I played football, soccer, used to wrestle a little
so
bit.
So you're very much into baseball. Athletics as a kid.
Yeah. You know, to be totally honest with mm-hmm. you, I was the worst athlete on my team as a kid all the way till I was about 11 years old. I was really badly pitched. I said, wear special shoes, sleep with this brace. I was like one of the worst athletes when I was 9, 10, 11. Then something happened when I was 12. It's like I grew, I got fast, and I got rid of those funny shoes I used to have to wear. And then I, you know, became coordinated. And so it's funny, if you would have talked to anybody who went to third, fourth grade with me and they said I was an athletic director, I'm in the Athletic Hall of Fame at Tucson High and, you know, won a state championship there for baseball. But if you would have asked anybody who knew me when I was in first, second, third grade and said I was involved in athletics, they would probably laugh. My dad used to say things like, you know, I hope he's academically he's good, because there's no way he's going to be an athlete. But, you know, it's weird. You just never know when somebody's going to blossom, bloom, or connect it. And I thank all my Little League coaches for it. I had the best Little League coaches, as far as they didn't care about wins and losses. They just wanted me to enjoy the game. And that's something else I do in this community. I go out and I talk to Little Leagues, and I stress the importance of our little league coaches and club coaches, that they just got to make it a positive experience and just focus on the kids' effort, not wins or losses, not getting hits or being this great player, because you just never know when a young person might blossom. And so, you know, that's the one thing I stress. My coaches weren't great coaches as far as they knew baseball. One was a mechanic, the other worked at Tucson Electric Power back in the day, but they were just good people, and mm-hmm. I enjoyed the game. Yeah. And because of that, I'm making a career in athletics. Had I had a bad experience when I was younger and our coach was just a jerk or yelled, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
You brought up Little League, and when I think of my earliest memories as a kid, I remember trying out for Little League, the number on the back, on my back, you know, and they were going to decide what team you went on. And I became very competitive in sports, and look, I wound up in a very competitive profession, and mm-hmm. I think that really set a foundation for me personally, mm-hmm. having that competition. I think it was wonderful. And I also had a fantastic Little League coach who, like you say, did not emphasize winning and losing. It was just really about participating and doing the best you can.
Well, you're right on. And that's the thing that I try to stress most of all, is anything we do, we got to focus on the effort. Results, sometimes they can't be controlled, but if you just give our best effort and what we're doing, and whatever happens, happens, and we're just going to continue to do our best effort, I think we're going to be all right.
All right, Edgar Soto, fine guy who really is doing a great job at Pima Community College, the Dean of Athletics, Fitness, and Wellness. He's also the Acting Dean of Arts and Humanities. He's actually kind of getting into that and enjoying that as well, right, Edgar?
I do enjoy it. And what's amazing is there's so many crossovers. You might not think so, right. But between athletics and arts and humanities, I don't know how much time I have left, but let me just give you one example.
Real quickly.
Is yeah. As far as going out and recruiting, we need to go out and recruit students in the arts and the theater and the music and those type of things as well.
All right. For more information about Pima, visit pima.edu. Thank you, Edgar.
Thank you.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
The weather outside is frightful.
Not here in Southern Arizona, but it's the season to think about your year-end giving. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona relies on contributions from generous people like you to help homeless pets in our community. Support their great work and learn more about how your tax-deductible gift can help build their new location at 635 West Roger Road, opening in 2018. Visit hssaz.org. That's hssaz.org.
It's the most wonderful time of the year at Reed Park Zoo. Tucson's favorite tradition, Zoo Lights, presented by Tucson Electric Power. Enjoy the falling snow and live music as you stroll through the zoo with twinkling lights. Visit Santa at the Reed Park Zoo from December 7th through the 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. Plus encore nights 6 to 8 December 26th through the 30th. For tickets and more, visit reedparkzoo.org or stop by Metro PCS for your discounted Zoo Lights coupon.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, just what is in the future for state funding for transportation in Arizona? We'll talk with Mike Hammond. Mike is the representative for Southern Arizona on the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. Buckmaster, during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI and always on my website, buckmastershow.com.
It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition. Downtown Tucson looking very Christmassy, very holiday-ish. Kathleen Erickson is the Downtown Tucson Partnership Executive Director, and she's with us on the live line. Kathleen, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. Boy, you've really put together a lot that's going on downtown. Starting with the Christmas, the holiday parade of lights, that's kind of the new version of that rolls out on Saturday.
Yes, we're so excited. And the holiday spirit is certainly alive downtown.
What are some of the things you've got going on?
Well, the Parade of Lights is this Saturday, so we have also a festival in coordination with that. Everything is taking place at Hockamy Plaza, and we have a whole lineup of entertainment starting as early as 3 p.m. and working through till 9 p.m. in the evening.
And what about holiday lights downtown?
Oh, yes. It's attracting quite a bit of attention, and people are just loving it. We have a new program downtown. Instead of focusing on just one event of the Parade of Lights, which is a fantastic and traditional event that we will continue to cherish and coordinate, instead of focusing on just that singular event, we are promoting 5 weeks of festivities in the downtown. And to set the stage for that, we've called the event Desert Nights Downtown Lights, and it's 5 weeks of celebration. And for setting the stage for that celebration, we have so many lights in the downtown. All of the buildings, over 50 buildings, have light lines that have been connected to their roof lines, as well as over 155 trees have been professionally tight-wrapped with white LED lights.
Very nice. So why don't you go over some of these 5 weeks and what each of the themes will be, please?
Okay, great. So we're focusing on Hockamy Plaza, which has been a newly reactivated public space. It's just beautiful. We've added bistro tables and chairs and pops of red color through poinsettias, and also the tables and chairs and festive lighting throughout the park. In the park, we have a schedule of events. We have Friday Food, Fun, and Flicks, which is every Friday in December. Food and Fun at 4 and Flicks at 6.
Okay.
Santa will be there as well every Friday, so we're excited about that.
I've got a window contest. How's that going?
Wonderful. We have over 30 participants in the window decorating contest. And this year, we've allowed people to vote for their favorite window. So we've just created a lot of buzz and foot traffic in and out of these businesses. We have voting available on Facebook and then also ballot boxes within each of the businesses. The voting has been completed, and we will have the winner announced this Saturday at the Parade of Lights.
And I think you've got a pretty nice grand prize, right?
Oh, yes. We have
two round-trip plane tickets to anywhere in the country. That's pretty cool.
Yes. Through the generous donation of Fletcher McCusker. So, yeah, so it really upped the ante and raised the bar, and people were quite competitive in a fun way this year with the window decorating contest.
What is the outdoor office?
Oh, the outdoor office is we have seating, red bistro tables and chairs on the corner of the Hockamay Plaza on Stone and Pennington, and we provide free Wi-Fi and all sorts of games like ping pong and Jenga, life-size game pieces, chess. People are coming out of their offices and they're having meetings and working in the beautiful Tucson weather that we've been having. We do have outdoor heaters as well for the cooler days.
We're speaking with Kathleen Erickson. She is the Downtown Tucson Partnership Executive Director. Downtown Tucson continues to get a lot of buzz, doesn't it, across the country, and actually publicity even in Europe as well, as being kind of a very hip place to visit in Tucson, isn't it?
It really is. It's gaining a lot of attraction, and it's on the verge of being a world-class city for sure.
What do you, you're completing, I believe, what is it, about a year and a half now as head of the partnership?
Just a year, a little over a year.
A little over a year. And I know we did one of the first interviews with you when you had just started. You had a long list of things that you wanted to accomplish in your first year. How have you done in whittling away on that list, Kathleen?
Well, I've even exceeded my own expectations.
Tell me about some of your highlights. Yeah.
Well, there's some boring things that are more have to do with the structure of the organization, but very important in its own right. When I came on board, there was a deficit of over $200,000, and now we're running in the black. In just November, we were able to raise through sponsorships $137,000, and that helps us to pay for the activation and security and promotion and marketing of Hockamay Plaza, which is a beautiful public plaza that is now welcoming and safe to all that visit. We have, the holiday lighting, which is very significant in its own right, and it really is attracting people from that are local people in Tucson as well as visitors. So it's a really beautiful decor. And then as well as the homeless situation in the downtown. This was a big issue that has been brought up many times from the business perspective and also from the social service agencies as well, how to tackle that issue. And we've had some great success. In November alone, we created this program called DTP Connects, where we set up a table in the park and we were connecting people with need, homeless individuals, with the service agencies. And that was the whole premise of DTP Connects. We are not providing the social services, but we were providing the connection or the conduit. In the month of November, 44 homeless individuals were placed in either temporary housing or permanent housing in just one short month.
Hmm. So things are looking up on that front, certainly. And that had been a big issue when you took over, indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, Hockamay Plaza was really, it was a homeless encampment with anywhere from 60 to 70 homeless individuals making and calling Hockamay their home as of November. The numbers were on the rise. And now we're down to 18 They have not been moved around. They've actually been placed in housing. So we're excited.
Oh, they are being
Old
placed.
Old Pueblo.
They're being placed in housing. That's great.
Yeah, Old Pueblo Community Services is the one that really is to thank for all of this.
All right. Kathleen, great talking with you. And again, the festival, the Parade of Lights Festival is this Saturday from 3 to 9, Hockamy Plaza, 101 North Stone. And the tree lighting, the mayor will be doing that. That's at 6 o'clock. And the parade begins at 6:30, live music and entertainment. Did I cover it? I think I've got it all.
Yeah. The new route is beginning and ending at Hockamy Plaza, so it is a new route.
Okay.
Oh,
go ahead.
And if I could add, we are bringing in 15 tons of ice, and we have fresh snow that will be made on site and a hill with sled for children to play on.
I'll bring my sled. Thank you very much. Kathleen, have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over at Green Things, where they have everything you need to get your home looking really great for the holidays. Poinsettias are available. A lot of them. Started with 25,000. I'm not quite sure how many are left, but I'm sure the supply is going pretty fast. Check it out, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. That's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. People actually bicycle in over to Green Things because, you know, it's right there by the Rito. Richard Elias, that is a great area, that whole along the river.
Absolutely.
I mean, the whole, you can bike for a long way.
The loop, made it so accessible to people. And actually, there's a beautiful description of that area of the Tucson Valley in the book On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
Really?
It was written in the 1940s, actually. Yeah. It's a beautiful description of that river valley. Very nice.
Yeah, a lot of people said, why are we spending money on bike paths in this loop? But it really has become, for the bicycling folks and people who walk, it's become like a model for urban planning.
Absolutely. And it's doing us great things for us in terms of economic development and people wanting to come out and spend their vacations here.
Richard Elias is with us, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat in Ward 5. And Richard is a lifelong Democrat, and I know he is very happy with what happened. A lot of people saying it was really, it was a huge upset. Whether shocking is the right term, but it was big in Alabama. Yeah.
Well, I think people made the right decision and they weighed things and they took a look at what the future was going to bring if they elected Roy Moore. And I don't think they liked it. And I'm very proud of them. And I think we're headed in a better direction. And maybe this helps us with the whole notion of believing women and the stories that they tell, because I think that's important as well.
My friend Jim Nintzel mentioned you in his column, his longtime running column in Tucson Weekly, that you were thinking about actually running for Congress, but I guess you were flattered that people approached you about it, certainly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's a very big thing, but I decided it's just not right for me and my family at this particular juncture. Would have been a great honor to serve in District 2. It's a great part of the state, and I think people desperately need to have better leadership there. So it was a great honor to even consider the whole thing, and me and Emily thought long and hard over a few weeks about it, but we decided now is not the time.
My friend Joe Ferguson, writing in the Arizona Daily Star. By the way, Joe will be one of my guest reporters when we talk with Steve Kasachek on the show on Friday. And Joe was covering this meeting yesterday, the Pima County Board. Joe's story today in the Star saying that the board signed off on a $19.5 million plan to fix specific neighborhood streets over 2 years. The board split along party lines. Republican Supervisor Steve Christie and Allie Miller had been pushing Richard Elias for a number of things, changes into the plan that had been presented to the board by the Transportation Advisory Committee, but they failed to win support. Did they get their fair share out of this deal?
Well, if you
district,
look,
District 1, Supervisor Miller's district, and District 4, Supervisor Christie's district.
If you look at the numbers, they got more dollars going into those districts than any of the other districts, certainly more than District 5 and District 2 and District 3. So we also recognize that they have maybe the greatest need as well. So I think this was a well-thought-out plan. It's about preserving what we can preserve efficiently and finding efficiency in that so that we're able to get more miles done. If you go and try and work at roads that are completely destroyed, you are just simply not going to get very far spending the amount of money that we had available this year to do it. So I will say that the folks who came up from Green Valley in particular yesterday were eloquent and well-spoken and had very good points that I certainly considered, and I know the other members of the board did as well. So, you know, kudos to them and thank you to them for spending their time talking to us about it. But
In fact, about 40 of them came up, right?
Yes. Yes, it was a good
well-mannered and wanted to talk about this in an adult manner. Yeah,
polite. Smart, eloquent, like I said, well thought out. And it is a little counterintuitive, but this is the equation that we face in today's world of government when we simply don't have the revenue to get everything done that we would like to get done. And so some people have to wait in line a little bit, and that's what's going to happen there in Green Valley. We're already in December. Likely there'll be some more money allocated for that in next year's budget, which means in 6 months we're going to make another decision. My guess is that there'll be some more roads in Green Valley that'll get taken care of in that round of funding.
And it is a drop in the bucket overall, right? Compared to what needs to be done, I mean, you're talking about a lot of money, right?
Well, and I think that we have some changes coming at us. We're retiring debt very efficiently there at the county, and so there's going to be some room there to move some money towards fixing roads. And we also have some additional growth happening in the county, which is going to increase the amount of property taxes that we collect that I think will provide some more revenue that can be used in the next year or so. And so I think we're headed on a good trajectory, you know, and I'd ask people to be patient and be thoughtful and recognize that we're all in this together. You know, we didn't all get here on the same ship, but clearly we're in the same boat together. So
what's the next step? I mean, Supervisor Christie has proposed a plan for some long-term funding. I mean, where are we with this now? We're going to move on from this with the $19.5 million, but what's the long-term outlook? What is planned or what is hoped for?
Supervisor Christie has proposed a sales tax for roads and eliminating the money that we spend on property taxes for roads. You know, very difficult for me to support that kind of proposal. It transfers a huge amount of debt onto people who, quite honestly, don't have the money to pay it. Sales taxes impact low-income people to a much greater degree than anybody else. And the number's huge. We're talking about collecting $70 million in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And then that money going to pay for roads in Districts 1 and 4. Now, I don't harbor that against them. We all share in this. But taxes are also supposed to be efficient. They're also supposed to work so that people get some kind of return on their investment. And that's what people in Green Valley were upset about yesterday. They felt they weren't. But when you look at the numbers, clearly they are getting a good return on their investment. So sales tax, very difficult. Roads are also not the only major problem that we face here in Pima County. If they were to talk to me about spending a quarter cent on health and human services, because I truly believe that we should be helping children that are poor. We have kids going to bed every night that are hungry. We have behavioral health folks that desperately need attention so their families aren't destroyed. And that really hurts our economy even worse.
So that goes to the top of your list, not roads.
That's correct.
Would you say?
That's correct. I really, truly believe that those are the worst problems the county faces. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a narrative that's not necessarily popular right now. But again, I look at my district. I look at what's happened in the 15 years that I've been around. And I see people who need some help right now. At the same time, federal resources are drying up. State resources have gone out the window long ago. So, frankly, the pressure is on us. And we need to fix our roads. But we also need to attend to the human services that are being ignored right now because there's simply not funding to do it.
It's a poor community.
Yes, it is. And we have to respond to that. And despite all the stories of folks that rip off the government, the truth is we hurt children and we hurt their families when we put them in a position where they can't even think properly at school. They're not able to find the resources they need for adequate housing, for jobs that could improve the lives of their parents. And even for those whose parents are so troubled that they can't work, we should not abandon children. We need them to know that they should be nurtured and loved and cared for in our community. That's a big issue.
All right, we'll take our break right here, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation with Richard Elias, who will stick around with us for one more segment. It is our midweek edition. And by the way, tomorrow we talk more about state funding for transportation. Mike Hammond, who represents the Arizona Department of Transportation on the board, he'll be with me at noon tomorrow. Be right back.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonootool.org/holidaynights.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
The weather outside is frightful. Not here in Southern Arizona, but it's the season to think about your year-end giving. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona relies on contributions from generous people like you to help homeless pets in our community. Support their great work and learn more about how your tax-deductible gift can help build their new location at 635 West Roger Road, opening in 2018. Visit hssaz.org. That's hssaz.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB, here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. Tis the season for charity giving. First tip, check out give.org to find BBB accredited charities that have fully disclosed information to BBB Wise Giving Alliance. Second tip, request a free holiday issue of the BBB Wise Giving Guide to be sent to a friend or family member. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. It is the Buckmaster Show. We send so many of our listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Richard Lee is with me in studio. You love that area over there in Silver City.
Oh, Silver City is so beautiful, and the Gila Wilderness area.
Oh.
Just fascinating place to go, and one of my favorite places to go and sit around and wait and see if Santa shows up on Christmas morning.
There you go. It's only a 3-hour drive over to Silver City, and one of the highlights, Richard, and I know you've been up there, is the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. It was really Teddy Roosevelt, I believe, declared that as a national monument. It's one of the earliest national monuments, and it is really a special place north of Silver City.
Oh, absolutely. You can see ancient corn there that still sits in the cliff dwellings from when they were inhabited by our native predecessors. And really a fascinating place to go.
It's only a 3-hour drive. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's your starting place for the complete list of the many places to stay. There are some really nice places there. And as we've been discussing, great recreation opportunities. Richard Elias is with us, Ward 5 Democrat, and getting ready for the holiday season. As you've been in this town all your life, have the holiday season changed much here since when you were a kid growing up here in Tucson?
Well, yeah, you know, downtown used to be the
shopping place. I'm thinking of,
you know, there was all Hockamies, those department stores, Hockamas, you know, Penny's, Sears was downtown.
Right.
All of them. Montgomery Ward's was downtown at one point. And Santa had a little house on Pennington that he used to occupy, where we would go and try and talk him out of a extra sucker, you know. It was just fun. Steinfeld's, all of that, the decorations. But that changed and moved to the malls. And the malls present some interesting opportunities for people to be able to shop and enjoy all of that. And I see families enjoying visiting Santa and all of that stuff there.
But remember
as well,
when Elkhorn had, it was like the shopping center here, and when Santa,
I believe, now, you know, this takes you back a long time, but that center court,
right.
That's where Santa was set up right there,
yeah,
at Elkhart.
That great little fountain right by the college shops,
right,
and
right,
Seal Peterson's.
Right. Oh, yeah, and Seal Peterson.
Yeah, the Steinfels was right there. I remember being there one time when Santa actually parachuted out of a helicopter down into the parking lot of Elkhart.
Oh, my gosh.
And visited with kids. That was great.
We talked a little bit about Green Valley. You said there were a lot of very nice people who came to the meeting yesterday. They were talking about transportation. I believe coming up, you've got a meeting December 9th, I think next week.
Yes, week we have another meeting.
And this thing about the defunct Kanoa Hills Golf Course, which could be on its way to become like a kind of a park-like passive recreation site by early next year. That's going to be on the agenda, right?
Well,
or is it?
I don't know that it'll be on the agenda, but I know staff has been working on that deal for a while. My sense is that we're going to see a number of these kind of things come up in the next few years as golf courses continue to lose revenue and find themselves unable to pay their water bills in particular. That's kind of what happened at Kanoa. We've known that story for the last 4 or 5 years. But I think the notion of being able to obtain them free or at very low cost to create natural resource parks is a tremendous advantage. I think that one in Green Valley at Kanoa is a great idea.
130 acres there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's laid out, frankly, in such a manner that people who are disabled or have mobility impairment would be able to use some of those trails to get around and experience the natural resources and the wildlife that we share out there. A great opportunity to be able to do things at a very reasonable price to all of us. And what an amenity to have. But I caution people to really think about accessibility as a big issue, because one thing I learned from building that accessible park out there on the west side that we named Feliz Paseos was that, you know, we ought to make every single park in America completely accessible to people who are disabled, because it only makes a difference to them.
Mm-hmm.
We can always use it.
Mm-hmm. And this park you're talking about, what was the issue there?
At Feliz Paseos?
Yeah.
It's out there on Camino de Oeste between Ironwood Hills and Speedway. Mm-hmm. And every single trail is completely accessible to disabled folks.
Okay.
There's different levels of complexity on the trails because part of the advocates that helped us build that park made us realize that disabled people have a range of desires, too, in terms of the interface that they want to have with the natural environment. And so it can be achieved very efficiently, very easily, frankly. And it's really something that we should all think about. I think when we did Feliz Paseos in 2003, there was only two natural resource parks that were designed completely for disabled people here in the United States.
Wow.
It's grown since then.
So this proposal, the county would purchase the existing clubhouse and the adjacent parking lot. Is that right? Is that what this is?
That's probably what we would end up purchasing, and then the property would probably be deeded over to us at no charge.
What's going to be the big issue in 2018 facing Pima County, Richard Elias? Still percolating out there is what's going to happen with Rosemont.
I think
there's already a lot of legal action going on. I think I kind of get a feeling that things might be coming to a head in that the 2018 will be the year for that. I mean, it could be tied up longer. I don't know.
It depends on the price of copper.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the biggest dictator in all of that question. But certainly that looms large for next year. I think the allocation of local resources and how we replace dollars that have disappeared from the federal government, how we deal with transportation issues, all of those things are very complicated, like we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. But really, a complete changeover in how revenue is disseminated from government on top down to us local folks is going to be the issue that I think all of us have to concern ourselves with. We have big, huge congressional races coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And those are tough questions that all of us are going to have to answer and be prepared to be assaulted with an avalanche of commercials about those congressional races.
Oh, yeah, that should be starting pretty soon after the new year.
Stop.
Yeah, it's going to be nonstop. It'll be a very, certainly CD2 going to be a very competitive race, and we're still waiting to see what's going to happen with Senator McCain and
God bless him. I want to say that right now, right, as we head into the holidays. I wish John the best, and of course that extends to all your listeners as well, and to you and your family, Bill, because we all got to stick together.
We certainly do.
That's something we learned, and we got to keep at it.
All right, Richard, happy birthday. You're one
Thank
of these
you.
Christmas babies. My birthday is Saturday, and yours is Christmas Eve, I believe.
Right. So,
I mean, when we were kids, we were told, well, I was anyway, Bill, just open. Well, Billy, open just one gift. Save the rest. Santa's got other plans.
I heard a lot of stories like that. Yeah. But, I was busy eating tamales.
There you go. All right, Richard. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy birthday. All that stuff.
Happy birthday to you, too.
And thanks a lot.
Happy Christmas to everybody.
And happy Hanukkah.
Absolutely.
And Kwanzaa. And,
right. Yeah. Right. Today's really the first day of
Hanukkah. Well, it is indeed. All right. Coming up this afternoon, we have Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will help Mike out. Two of them put together a great hour. And then Wake Up Tomorrow, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, with Mike Hammond from the Arizona Department of Transportation. Mike's going to join us. We'll take a deep dive, as they say, into transportation. Keith Rosenblum joins us. The illegal border crossing numbers are the lowest they've been since the mid-1980s. We'll talk to him about that. Have a great afternoon and evening.